Hello, you're listening to Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined today by the Dole Whip fanboy, JJ.
That's me.
And the DVC Dodger, Sean.
No regrets.
If you have a good title for my co-host after listening to this episode, please send in your ideas to reedygeeks@gmail.com. In today's mini episode, the geeks have a round of corrections from our recent DVC episodes, and we take a look at our most recent trip to Walt Disney World. Okay, so we can't all be perfect, right, guys?
You can't.
Well, I mean, we're working on it.
We're striving to be better. But there were a couple things in our previous DVC series that we missed.
Well, I mean, maybe not missed, but maybe like just...
overlooked.
Glossed over.
And so we had a couple of people reach out and give us some ideas for reminding us the importance of dues, which was great. JJ, you wanted to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. It's just a quick reminder that, like, yes, dues are really a thing with DVC. The whole length of the contract, every year, you're going to have to pay dues. And I believe they're somewhere in that, like, $7.50 a point to almost $10 a point in Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, some of the other resorts, Vero Beach, right?
Hilton Head, yep.
Those can be way higher even, right?
Yeah.
They're like, $13 a point?
Yep. Yep.
So that really adds up fast if you do the math on a 100-point contract, right? Because it's easy to just move the zeros around. Like $7.50 a point is $750 a year. That's a lot. That adds up. So it's not nothing to think about. Oh, well, you make this big payment and there's dues. But no, the dues are something to consider.
Yeah. Even the dues at the new cabins at Fort Wilderness are $12.15 per point.
Wow.
So you're looking at anywhere between potentially $60 to $70 to $100, $120 a month extra in dues.
I guess
on top of what you're already going to be paying that first 3 to 4 years or 5 years of financing.
Right. Yeah, financing.
Yeah. Well, if you pay cash and you pay cash and all that, yeah, those are big, $1,500 bill every year to
yeah.
Do you have the as a DVC member? Do you have the ability to pay it? Can you pay it in one yearly chunk, or do you have to pay it monthly?
No, you can pay it yearly. I choose to pay it monthly, and then I go in before they take it out of my bank account. So if you pay it yearly, you can pay it on a credit card. You can charge it, but if you pay it monthly, it has to come out of your bank account, or before they withdraw it from your bank account, you can go in and pay it down with gift cards. So that's what I do.
So you buy the gift cards with the credit card.
I buy gift cards with the credit card, get points back or get, or some type of discount. You know what I mean? For example, the Target credit card is like great to do this with.
Right, because you get 5% off.
Right.
And then, yeah.
And it's a free credit card. You get 5% off anything you buy at Target, and that includes Disney gift cards. So it's like 5% off your dues. But like the cabins here, $12.15 per point. That's if you have a 100-point contract, that's an extra $1,200 a year.
Well, and compared to your resort of
Saratoga,
then that's in the low eights.
Yeah, it's
right?
In very low eights. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking about a 100-point contract at Saratoga is $800. And at the cabins, it's $1,200
right.
For the same points.
Right, every single
year.
And your dues are never going down. They're just not.
Right, of course they're not.
Yeah.
Right.
Are the dues ever going to go up?
Yes, they go up both. Yeah. So count on them going up 3 to 4% every year.
The way that park tickets do.
I guess so, yeah, the way the park tickets do. The one thing that is great, though, about... I don't want to say great about dues. There's really, like, I hate paying dues, right? Everyone hates paying dues. But, like, the good thing is that Disney can't make a profit off these dues. Like, they can't just say, we need to give money back to our shareholders, so let's up the dues. Like, it has to be legally what they spend to maintain the resorts. And that's why you're paying them. So you're paying for the parking spaces. You're paying for, the parking lot. Like, maintaining the parking lot for the transportation, for the people that work there. Housekeeping, all of that.
Upgrades to the beds, maybe, whatever,
it's
right?
It's called mousekeeping.
It is called mousekeeping, yeah. Is it?
Is it? Yeah, I think so, yes.
It's mousekeeping, yeah.
Yeah, of course Disney would do that.
Did you not know that?
I always thought that was kind of a joke. I didn't know if that's like official, you know.
You know,
it's official now.
We don't name everything with mouse in front of it for nothing.
No, Mouse Kings. So dues are really important.
Right. And then the other thing we wanted to bring up was maybe there is a type of person we might have glossed over as far as who DVC contract might be beneficial for.
Yeah, we have a big blind spot, and that's kids. You know, kids and families is our, like, we're three guys here that have no children.
And no responsibilities.
And no, yeah. So kind of forgot that, like, what, you know, who would be good to get DVC would be families. You know, if you are going to Disney buying or getting two hotel rooms, then maybe you should be looking into DVC, because then at least you guys can all stay together.
Yes and no, but it depends on how often you're going to Disney World.
Right. But it's something that those people could consider. You know?
I did bring that up, but what we did not bring up is the importance of maybe the kitchen.
Yeah.
And how vital that is for getting a family out the door in time to make it to the parks, having access to a kitchen, having access to, you know, giving 2 to 5 kids breakfast before you head out the door is a tremendous value.
Yeah. And if you were just staying in 2 hotel rooms, you couldn't do that. You know, you don't have a kitchen.
You'd have to buy 8 breakfasts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Instead, just get those Jimmy Dean frozen
or any
sandwiches.
A couple boxes of cereal.
Yeah, a couple boxes of cereal.
Yeah.
We ended up microwaving frozen pizzas.
So the Premier Pass is the brand new method of skipping the line that Disney came up with. They didn't take away any other form of skipping line. You still have individual lightning lanes. You still have the multi-pass lightning lane. But now they have a Premier Pass. And for this, you can kind of think of what Universal Studios has, in the sense that you pay one price and you can just go on any ride you want that has a lightning lane at any time you want. There's no reservation times or anything like that. I would also like to point out that, because we're going to kind of talk about this, but Universal, it's designed that you wait around 20 minutes, right? This, you know, lightning lanes, Disney lightning lanes are supposed to be quicker than 20 minutes. They're supposed to be like reservations, you know, you sit down right away on the ride. So it is expensive. Do you remember?
It's also exclusive.
It's only for deluxe guests staying at deluxe hotels. And even then, Disney says they're going to limit how many they sell per day.
Yeah.
And it's per park. You can't use it in park hop.
There's no hopper option. You have to choose which park you are going to use it in ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it is extremely expensive. When I heard the numbers, it was advertised that it was going to be somewhere between $130 and $430 a day per person, not including park tickets. So that made my brain start to go, is this worth it? How is this worth it? Who would buy this?
Mm.
Because it's so expensive, and that I was just wondering, like, well, what does this look like if you, like, dialed up a trip with these passes? Now, we have since found out that there's tiers, and that the 130, it's for specifically Animal Kingdom. So each park has a different price range. So the more rides, the more big rides, the more e-tickets that are at a park, the more expensive it is. So those $430 numbers, well, that's for Hollywood Studios and for Magic Kingdom, the places that have the line issues.
Man, $130 for Animal Kingdom. Because you can only go on a ride once with this park, with this Premier Pass.
Oh, right. Yes.
So that means you're spending like $30 to go
a ride.
You're spending $30 to go on, I mean, I think the Lion King show has a lightning lane.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was, yeah.
If I'm spending $130,
mm-hmm.
I can go on Expedition Everest one time.
In the yes. lightning lane.
Who's buying these? Idiots. Why would you ever spend money on that?
I did.
Because it's more expensive than...
Did you say $430?
For Magic Kingdom and for...
So on top of my $175 admission ticket to walk into the park,
mm-hmm.
where I can get on the rides whenever I want, for the most part,
mm-hmm.
I'm spending... So my so $430 plus $175... $620-something to get into the Magic Kingdom, and I can get on Tron
one time.
If you're spending money on that, God help you. I'm sorry. This isn't always a pro Walt Disney World podcast.
So that was some of the things that was going through my head when I heard about this.
My God.
I decided to run a bunch of numbers and come up with four scenarios. I came up with, I'm calling them the Joneses, who are the people that, quite frankly, are, you know, they're not Disney-versed, but they have a lot of income,
yeah.
and they want to take their family on a very memorable vacation that does not include them waiting online.
Or include a budget.
Right. No, they have a lot of expendable income.
This is like keeping up with the Joneses. These are the people you're trying to keep
Joneses.
Up with.
These are the Joneses. Then I ran numbers for what that person would have done in 2022 when it was just MultiPass and, even 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Where it would be just MultiPass and individual Lightning Lanes on all the attractions that it was available for. Then I ran numbers for, out of pure curiosity, because this is so incredibly expensive. In my head, I went, this can't be much more expensive than booking a full day of VIP where you get the Plaid tour guide and they just walk you on whatever ride you want to ride. And then I ran numbers for someone that is very Disney savvy, but maybe hates waiting on lines and wanted to see if the Premier Pass was worth it at the two parks that off your head you think, oh, these parks have line problems, meaning Disney Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom.
I can't think of a single scenario with it.
So I think the numbers will basically show that your assessment is fairly accurate. okay, so let's start with the 20... I called it the 2022, but really it's the early 2024. If you... spent six nights at Port Orleans Riverside.
Which is a deluxe? Considered a deluxe?
No, that's a moderate.
But it's...
This is a moderate, but it's a great hotel.
Oh, for sure. But you were saying that this...
This is the 2022. So this is pre-Premier Pass.
Oh, okay.
This is what a family... This is what anybody that doesn't know all the ins and outs of, like, well, where do I need Lightning Lanes? Where do I not need it? If you're just like... I'm going to buy Lightning for every park, and I'm going to go on all the things, but you're going to stick with the current system, the Lightning Lane MultiPass and the individual Lightning Lanes. So they're staying at Port Orleans Riverside. They've got four days of parks, six nights of hotel, so they've got a rest day, and they're doing Genie Plus for four people. Those costs altogether is about $5,500.
For four people.
For four people. Four adults. I didn't do anything with
how many
kids
days?
Pricings. It's six nights.
Six nights. That feels... These are 2022 prices?
No, this is current day prices.
It feels cheap.
So that's what it is right now. Then let's compare that to what the Joneses would do now that Premier Pass exists. You have to stay at a deluxe resort. The cheapest resort I could find was the Animal Kingdom Lodge. This is all the same week. This is all the week of January 6th to the 12th. So it's a Monday to a Sunday. So Animal Kingdom Lodge, again, 4 day, no hopping. And then I did 4 days of Premier Pass. And the total is almost double. It's $9,800 compared to $5,500.
For a family of four.
This is four adults.
So
no kids prices.
Okay, so four adults. This is two couples going down,
or kid over 10.
Right, that's
kids
true.
Prices
yeah,
end
that's
at 10.
True. Yeah.
So this is a family of four. If you've got
middle school age kids,
an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old, this is a family of four. So this is basically family of four pricing. So we're talking about the Joneses now are spending almost twice as much money. It's $9,800 versus $5,500.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So now I'm going $9,800 for a 6-day vacation. That's insane.
What this is,
and without food and all this other stuff.
I mean, listen. We could talk about capitalism on another episode, but I mean, this is Disney. You got to applaud them. This is Disney seeing if these people are willing to spend this much money to come to Disney World, how much more money can we get them to spend? Because they're by saying you can only do it at deluxe resorts, which of course is a beta test. If this goes well, it's going to trickle down.
Yeah.
It's going to eventually be offered to moderates and eventually the people staying at Pop Century.
But if you're staying at a moderate, why would you wouldn't be able to afford this.
No, right.
Otherwise, you'd probably be staying at deluxes.
No, because
you'd is that how they get you to stay at their deluxe resort?
I think it's how they get you to stay at a deluxe.
Because if you're staying at a deluxe resort, you're spending top dollar, right? So it's like when the higher you go in something, it's like, well, if I'm spending this much, why not spend this much?
There's not that much difference between Port Orleans and Saratoga Springs.
Right.
It's just one's considered deluxe and one considers moderate, though. So you could take that $200 and apply it to Premier Pass. If they opened it up, they're not going to open
this
it up.
This is how they get the rich to spend just a little bit more.
They want to loosen up. They want to loosen up how hard it is to get a reservation at Coronado and Port Orleans and Caribbean Beach, and they want them.
That
to
also
start
feels
going
true because
up.
Yeah, because you would think what's the percentage of people now whose margin of is it worth staying? Is it worth bumping up from Coronado to Saratoga? At what point is the dollar amount worth it?
And they're also trying to get people to leave the places like Bonnet Creek and the Grove that are all right around Disney that have kitchens and are cheaper than the moderates.
Yeah, but so I think you're right in saying that if they offered this to moderate, then people might stay at moderate and get this, right?
Right.
But if you're already like cost conscious that you're staying at the Grove, right, or you're staying at Bonnet Creek, or you're staying at a value or a moderate, mm-hmm. then you're too cost conscious to even consider doing this.
No, where your value is. If your priorities are different.
Right.
Because I could see my family doing something where we don't want to wait in line at Disney Hollywood Studios. We'll just suck it up and we'll spend too much money and do it.
Or you get a VIP tour for that day.
Well, we'll get there. And that's a good transition.
Yeah.
Because I ran the numbers of, well, what if we did one crazy VIP day?
I didn't even know this existed.
VIP?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So VIP is a program that exists that's somewhere between $450 and $900 an hour, and you have to book at least 7 hours and a maximum of 10 hours.
Sean's face. I wish this was a video podcast.
Oh, my God.
What this does is...
When he said per hour.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say per person.
No, per hour. So let's take the average... We'll call it $7,000 for a 10-hour day.
Oh, my God.
So, but what this does is it's you and 9 other people. You can bring 10 people on this.
I don't want to bring 10 people.
The number doesn't change if it's one person or 10 people.
Yeah.
You're basically paying for the guide and for the transportation and for the backstage access. You do not wait on any line at all.
And you can ride multiple rides.
And you can ride a ride multiple times. So
you can go on Dumbo all day long if you want.
In theory, you could ride...
For $900 an hour.
You could ride... But you could also ride...
Barnstormer.
You could ride Guardians 3 times. And then leave Epcot and go... You could ride every single big ride in one day.
Yeah.
You can ride all of the
longest
lines.
As long as you have
lines.
Park hoppers, yeah. You
right.
Can, yeah.
As long as you have a park hopper, because it also includes transportation between the parks.
Right.
You get...
The VIP pass doesn't get you park hopper?
No.
You have to... It doesn't include the park.
You always have to buy your ticket.
You always have to buy your ticket.
Oh, my God.
I do think some of the snacks and stuff are free, though.
They do, and you get free water, free snacks.
Yeah, you get free water bottles.
Free water bottles.
Free Dasani's, baby.
I would love to one day be this rich to just not care.
Well, hold on. I think, though, what JJ's getting at here is that if you actually max out the amount of people in a VIP tour, it's not that much more expensive than the Premier Pass.
It's cheaper.
It's cheaper than the Premier
Pass. If you did 1 day of VIP instead of buying Premier Pass for the 4 days you're in the park. So if you did, I'm going to the parks for 4 days. Instead of doing any, the only cutting the line that I'm going to do is 1 day of VIP. If you had 10 people, it would be about $2,000 cheaper for a family of four to have 1 day of VIP than it is for them to use the Premier Pass.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. But if you did VIP without bringing more people in and just said, I'm a family of four and we're doing VIP for a day, it's only $1,500 off of, because you don't have to stay deluxe. You can stay wherever you want.
Right, right. You can stay at the Grove.
But someone staying at like Art of Animation can still buy a VIP.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can stay at Art of Animation for $200 a night and add this as like a one special thing and you'd be about $1,500 off of if you did Premiere every day you were in the park.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't think anyone should be doing Premiere because, like you said initially, there's only like four rides in Animal Kingdom.
Right.
You're going to pay $40 a ride
to
cut the line one time?
Yeah.
No, that's insane. So here's the last numbers I ran was someone that's Disney literate that wanted to cut the line at Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
The two that I think were most worth it. And it's only $1,600 more than what the, you know, the Genie Plus or the Lightning Lane Multipass version of this would be. And it's a pretty full-fledged trip. The only caveat is that I did fully hack the stay. It's a split stay.
Yeah.
So the day that you're doing Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom, you're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's one night, but 2 days. So
I think you're right on that.
You can book Premiere on both your check-in day and your checkout day.
Yeah.
So you're doing 2 days of Premiere at the two parks that, I wouldn't say need it, but the two parks that are most beneficial to have it. And then everywhere else, you have the individual Lightning Lane for the Premiere ride.
Mm-hmm.
And at Epcot, I also kept Lightning Lane Multipass. And that is only about $1,600 more than what the pure, you know, Lightning Lane passes at Port Orleans was. So these are comparable vacations, and I do think your day at Hollywood Studios, first of all, would fly by. You'd be done at Hollywood Studios in like
an hour.
Long it takes
to
walk around the perimeter of the park where all the rides are.
Yeah. That's like that will be the cool thing about the Premier Pass, if they allowed it to be that you can go on it a ride multiple times, because I don't necessarily love Universal's Premier Pass type of thing, because you're still meant to wait online, to wait like 20 minutes to a half hour. It's basically like cutting your line in half.
I was a kid and we went to Universal, I think twice in my younger days, and my parents always stayed at the Hard Rock, which is right there, right behind original Universal. It's right in their City Walk, and by virtue of staying at the hotel, your room key was your
express pass.
Yes.
And that way it was factored into what you spent at the hotel by the night,
right?
But it always just felt like such a great perk.
Yeah,
it's a huge perk.
You know, we're going on the Jurassic Park ride 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah, and you can't do that now. Or I mean, they still do that, but Disney can't do that because there's too many deluxe.
Disney has not drawn the line of deluxe very well.
Yeah.
You would almost think that before any of this happens, Disney is going to re-tier their hotels.
They could. You know? They could make DVC its own separate tier.
You would think the way people keep saying to, you know, redo the divisions in sports, Disney's going to redo their hotel tier.
It's just, how can you say that someone staying at the DVC side of Poly is at a lesser resort than someone staying at the hotel side of Poly. They're literally just the townhouse next to each other, or what do you call those huts?
The bungalows. No, it's a building. They're just
the
building next to each other.
Yeah, they're building next to each other. Like, it's the same accommodations, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. DVC, the only thing is, in DVC, you have a kitchenette, actually, you know, small.
Right, but so the people staying at, if I were to go today and stay at the Polynesian, the main building.
Yeah.
And then
someone
staying in the tower when it's done.
Well, the tower will have different rooms.
Yeah,
we'll
have different accommodations.
Different accommodations.
Right.
Nicer, actually.
Right. Well, that's like that. There's the line. I think Disney.
Thinking DVC would be under.
Disney can draw whatever.
I would agree.
Disney can draw whatever line it wants.
Right.
And you accept it or you don't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to. I would imagine that they might add a tier above deluxe.
Well, and that's supposed to be deluxe villas. Like, if you look at deluxe villas, which are DVC rooms, they're more expensive than your traditional just deluxe room.
Right.
My idea, my thoughts on Premier Pass.
Okay.
Now that we ran the numbers, to me, this feels like when Disney every year has that Disney Around the World trip for $100,000.
Oh, the Adventures?
Yeah, the Adventure by Disney, and you go to every Disney park, and you also go to the pyramids in Egypt and Eiffel Tower, and you get a personalized jet, and Disney's flying you around. Okay, good for you. You know, good for Disney for charging it. Good for you for being able to do it. Like, okay,
right?
It doesn't matter to me.
Applause for Disney for getting people to pay for it.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Good for you.
Good for you. And hey, you went on a once in a lifetime trip, and you can afford it. Good for you too. You know,
yeah.
I wish I could. I don't think this is going to matter unless, and I really hope that they don't sell enough of these that they have to take Lightning Lanes out of the system. So that people who get the multi Lightning Lane pass don't get access to as many Lightning Lanes as they were before.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
I also hope that we're able to experience a VIP day before they dramatically jack up those prices.
Right, because it's too close in price.
They're way too close in price.
You would consider paying VIP?
I would.
Oh my God, yes. Like, I would do it. I would absolutely do it for 10 people.
If we can.
We got to max it out with 10 people.
And it has to be one of the days that's.
We had 10 investors.
Also, it's a range. So there is a time of year where it's a $4,500 day, not a $7,000 day, not a $9,000 day.
Right.
So, like, a $9,000 VIP day, that's 4th of July. So I'd use $7,000 just as an average number.
Yeah.
If you go in January 20th when no one's there, or, you know, September 1st, like those days where there's no one around.
Like, let's say you can get it for like $550.
Right, but there's no one around, so you're not waiting on really lines to begin with. So what's the purpose of getting the VIP?
Well, you can ride every ride you want to ride in one day. Like, sure. In all parks. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but so... But how realistically, even on a day where the attendance is the lowest it's been all year, how many parks are you really getting to and spending?
Oh, I would do all four.
Well, right, but you would do all four, but you're not getting on all the rides in all four parks.
But you budget an hour of transportation time. This would be like maybe 20 minutes to, you know, 40 minutes of transportation time. Like, they're gonna put you in a van,
right,
and they're gonna drive behind the scenes,
right,
avoiding all the traffic.
Yeah, you don't walk in the main entrance and walk to the back of the park. They drive you to the back of the park, and you walk in an employee entrance. You go, oh, you want to ride Guardians? We'll drive you right over here. Oh, you want to ride ride Remy, and then you want to leave Epcot?
Right.
Okay, let's do that, and then the car will be out the back of France. And they take you out a special exit, you hop in a car, they take you to Hollywood Studios. It would be a very busy day.
It would be.
I would never do this.
Oh,
I would never do this.
I would absolutely do this.
Never in my life would I do this. No way.
Because especially if it was, you're talking about a $4,500 day with 10 people.
I would never spend $450 to go on one day to Disney. That's insane.
Well, actually, it'd be like $600.
But like, because you gotta tip the guy.
And you also gotta tip the guy. Yeah,
no way.
So, let's say you're going down. Like, you can fit in 3 days of Maybe you don't get to all four parks, but you can fit in 3 days.
I don't like park hopping to begin with. I'm off park hopping. I haven't park hopped in 10 years. I want to go to a park. To me, spending that much money to go to Disney World just to run around all day is just so not worth it. You're not taking in anything. You're just literally, at that point, you're going to Six Flags. You're going to a park with bare minimum theming. You're not doing anything except going on rides.
No, I disagree. I think you're actually getting a better experience because this guide is going to be pointing things out to you. They're going to
tell you.
It's like a show, right?
And they tell you all the stuff. They take you wherever you want to go. You could say, I want to go into the Utilidors and I want to see this thing. And they take you there.
And like they're literally too like you're riding in a ride, you're right. But like think about how much time you spend waiting online, even if it's a 20-minute line, you're like, wow, that was so quick. You know, we barely were online.
I've only spent $150 on that.
This is like immediate. So like you get off the ride, you're looking around, you have time to, well, you know. Maybe I wouldn't do all four parks in one day, but I mean it's just
But why not? But why not end the day at the fourth park? Like why not have the last thing you do go on Guardians of the Galaxy and that be the only time you're in Epcot? Is, you know, it's 10 hours long, so it's what? So that would be 10 a.m. to 10, you know, to 9 p.m. or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And you just, or 8 p.m. Okay, at 8 p.m., drop me off and get me on Guardians, and then you're free to go.
I think that if the... this could be a good thing for the listeners if they want to, you know, hear our... Recap of this.
When is this happening?
The listeners could send us on this trip where we go on.
Oh yeah,
well, are we crowdfunding this?
Please send these geeks to a VIP experience. If you
donate,
don't waste your money.
The
person who donates the most money gets to go with us.
Yeah. the top seven people.
We might have to have plus ones for.
Oh yeah, that's true.
We might all need to have a plus one. So the top four donators.
Sir, here is a check with my name on it. Write down any number on this piece of paper, and I will pay it.
Let's move on to our most recent trip. So the last time we did like kind of like a trip report, and we don't like to do traditional trip reports here, where we go like day by day by day, just kind of giving our takeaways.
Usually, it's only you going on the trips.
Well, I was about to say that the only time we did it was when I went with my wife and my family, but we just recently went, the three of us, with some other dudes. You know, other guys.
There were some other dudes there.
There were some other dudes.
Why were we there?
Fine gentlemen there.
Yeah, actually. JJ, why were we there?
We celebrated my bachelor party at Epcot.
Yeah.
We sure did.
We did.
And my first takeaway is going to be everyone should have their bachelor party at Epcot.
First takeaway, we had a swell time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Times were had.
Yeah, it was a really... that was my second point. It was amazing. My co-hosts and all the gentlemen I was with did a really great job of making sure I had an incredible day.
There's a nice picture of the three of us on Living with the Land.
Maybe you can put that as the picture for the episode. Yeah, I'm gonna put that in the show notes for.
And then you maybe also put the group picture we took with Walt.
Oh, yep, that was a good picture.
Yeah.
How? That's proprietary.
Guardians of the Galaxy. It's time for virtual queue to go.
Yeah.
That's another takeaway of mine.
I am worried though that then the line will be 4 hours long because there's not another significant e-ticket attraction there.
Oh, so you think
once Test Track reopens, I think that
okay,
splits that's it exactly off. What I was going to say. Okay. I think they're waiting for Test Track to reopen.
That's a good idea.
You gotta have a way. You gotta have somewhere to split the crowd once Test Track is open because that's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're next to each other.
Yeah. Once Test Track reopens, I think they drop. Because there's no reason for them right now to do virtual to do standby for Guardians. There's no reason for it because you're going to get on it.
Yeah.
And it's reliable.
And the virtual queue is so easy. Like, and I've never not gotten a virtual queue.
There's no reason to, like, we waited 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But you're going to wait that on. You're going to wait that 45 minutes on standby. You would think that was great.
Right.
So there's no reason for them to drop the virtual queue right now, but I think that eventually, when they're able to divert the crowds a little easier,
yeah.
I have a new favorite drink in Epcot, the The orange slush is back on top.
In France. Wow.
Although orange slush had been dropping for me, and the Morocco Mule had been rising, and I think they just re-flip-flopped themselves.
I did like the... I had a Moroccan Mule once before, and we talked about it on an episode, how I needed to have it. I like it.
It's great.
Oh, it's a good. Really good drink.
Yeah.
It's 1A and 1B for me, and I think maybe every time I go, they'll just keep flip-flopping.
Yeah.
But the orange slush was hitting pretty hard.
This was, I think, the only time I've gone that I haven't done the orange slush in France.
I think you guys
did you do in France? I got a really bad beer.
Oh. No, it wasn't. It's not a bad beer.
It was a bad beer.
1664?
Yeah, it was a bad beer.
No, not for me.
Bad beer.
I got champagne. Champagne.
Yeah, and then you guys went on the movie, and I went to the quick service at Leal to have a quick ham sandwich and share a baguette with some fellow gentlemen.
Yes.
Yeah. Got a loaf of bread. Just guys eating bread.
Well, the baguette's one of the best deals in Disney World.
The full baguette is $5 and you can buy a half for $2.75.
Why would you buy a half? Why would you buy a half?
Yeah. It's like a 2-foot baguette.
You're just walking around giving people bread.
It's great.
It was great. And it was well needed, and it was very good fresh bread. Here's another one. Japan, amazing pavilion, no good drinks. That Tokyo Sunset was way too sweet, and the violet sake tasted like sake. It was no different from just drinking a cup of sake compared to like what that drink was.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I don't know that I would say no good drinks in Japan. I'm typically, because what I think of Japan is by the time I get to Japan, my bar for needing like a really good drink is so low.
Oh yeah,
that I usually get a Sapporo.
Yeah,
and I love it. I'm on board with it.
Right, but a Sapporo is fine. But like, if you're drinking cocktails,
we also went somewhere that I've never been. We went to the upstairs in the restaurant.
Yes, so it's like it's not a hidden bar, but it's a bar for the restaurant.
The bar for the tip.
Just hit that one little kiosk right in front of the shop, and I get my Sapporo or I get my sake.
But that line is always so long,
and then I go I guess. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, but there was no line. That was actually really good to go up there.
Yeah.
And you had a nice view when you walk up those steps.
You kind of hang over the ledge there and you can see the whole courtyard.
That's a good spot for watching fireworks, too.
Mm,
oh, yeah. If you walked all the way down on the edge. Yeah, that's a good point. France is the best country in Epcot.
It is. And I feel like they solidified that with adding Remy.
I agree.
And the crepes.
What makes it so good? I don't agree at all.
Oh, the food's great.
The ambiance is great.
What do you mean by food? Like, what are we talking about?
So you have a signature restaurant in Monsieur Paul,
which is very very expensive restaurant.
Right.
Have you eaten there?
Yes, I have. Yeah. Good. It's so funny. My mom always has the worst luck. Like, she got the pork chop and it was way overdone. But like, you know, other than that, it was a great, you know, great time. Everyone had a good time.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's supposed to be a really fantastic restaurant. Yeah. And then, there's Chefs de France. So there's another sit down there.
Right.
Like a more affordable, like a normal price sit down.
Yeah.
And then there's also the crêperie in the back.
Right.
So there's two sit downs and the crêperie also has a booth.
Yep.
The ice cream shop is really good.
Yeah. The ice cream shop. Yeah.
And then the quick service is, I think, maybe the best quick service.
That bakery?
The bakery in the back, because you can get the sandwiches there are all really good. The bread's amazing. And then you can go there for breakfast. They have quiches and all this really great stuff.
Then they have two attractions. They got the show, and they also have Remy.
The ride, yeah. I think it's stacked. The only thing that it's missing is a cool store. Which Japan certainly has a really cool store in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I even think Norway's little gift shop is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the UK has good shops. Yeah. I like the UK shops.
Mm-hmm. If the UK had a ride, it would be a contender for best.
Yeah.
Country.
What do you think is the best country, Sean?
I'm always going between Mexico and Japan.
Okay. That's fair.
I just think they have I think it's the two countries with the best
Vibes
like vibes theme, like, I mean, we start in Mexico, so it's always so exciting to be in the pyramid and going to
Japan. Not having a ride is
but that doesn't matter.
I think
to me.
Japan
that
is both a drink
because none of the countries have almost none of the countries have rides.
Japan is a drink I love and a ride away from being the best one because Mexico checks all the boxes. It has a ride, it has great drinks, good food, cool. The market is cool to look to window shop and stuff. Mexico's kind of the one that checks every single box, but I think I like France more.
Yeah. All right.
Well, my last takeaway, shout out to the Brat in Germany because the lines for the booths are a problem.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about this. This is part of my takeaways here.
You have a weird opinion.
I think actually that, so the booths, the line for the booths are long, but they are a well-oiled machine. And if you wait on them, they're actually not as long as they seem to be. The Lowe's lines move very quickly. But I think that you can't be doing really both going around the world, drinking around the world, and enjoying food and wine at the same time. Like we were moving on to the next country, and like you didn't really have time to like go and explore the booths.
Oh, I think we were moving at a really good pace.
Yeah, I think Disney has a hard time
knowing which booths are going to be a hit.
Yeah,
Like okay, like and knowing where the crowds are going to be, which you can't really blame them for that because just the crowd on a different day can prefer one booth over the other. But in my experience, the waiting on the booths, I think the booths, it was insane waiting on the lines for them.
Yeah.
Some of them, the food was like the food is pre-prepared, so it's like, oh, you want this? Here you go, ready to go. But like in my experience, waiting on the line for the booths, I feel like I was waiting for a ride. It was just like get me off this line.
There were two or three places that I wanted to have food at that I saw the line and said, I do not want to wait 30 minutes for this.
So I bet you it wouldn't have been 30 minutes.
I bet you it would be. Did you see the line for the shrimp tostada in Mexico?
No.
That's another problem too. Outrageous.
We were in a big group, right? And so like, you know, I know that when I'm in a large group and I want to do something like get that shrimp tostada, right? I don't want to make everyone stop and like we're going to wait here for this or something like that.
Of course. That was part of my consideration was like I'd rather be in the pyramid at La Cava than waiting on this line because it was going to be you had to make a decision. Do I want to wait on La Cava or do I want to wait for this?
I think La Cava is a worse line.
That was the first time in my life I've ever not just walked into Cava Tequila.
It is every time I'm there.
I have never in my life waited online there.
Always a lot.
I walk up to the door, I say, we're two people or we're one people. Let me in, and they get me my margarita. I've never waited on that line.
And it's not sit down, right? Because like
just
usually,
we'll just walk with the
guy. Yeah. If you want to walk and go, I've always waited online. But if you want to sit down, a lot of times,
that was
open.
Crazy. I mean, it moved. We were online for 15 minutes. It wasn't that bad. But like, I have never, ever.
But
waited
the line
online.
Was a little intimidating looking when we got because it was right. You know, you weren't even in.
You're going down the ramp. The line was
where the ramp down started. It was like we're like in a line, and they're like, "What are we on line for?" You're not even in the thing.
Margaritas.
People couldn't even see the like night market yet.
Yeah,
I wish I waited on that line for you, and then you could have gone into the, and like it would have been that would have worked out really well because if we were waiting on like some people waiting on the tequila line, and then that would have been good.
Whatever.
The tequila line.
No, it is perfectly fine. The day was incredible.
I'm not complaining about it too much because food and wine itself is an advertised like special event. So you got to imagine there's more crowds. There's higher volume of people. So I'm not necessarily upset that there was long lines for the booths that are not there all year. But I don't know. This is not for me.
Also,
give me a brat in Germany.
Important things to note. It was a Friday, so I'm sure a lot of locals were like, and it was perfect weather out.
Oh my God, the weather was amazing.
Many people, I'm sure, played hooky and showed up to Epcot to enjoy food and wine that, you know, maybe lived within 2 hours of the park. Also, another thing to note is that the our good friend Len Testa did predict that this would be an 8 out of 10.
Yes.
In terms of crowd level day.
And it did feel like an 8 out of 10.
It felt as crowded as, just about as crowded as Epcot can possibly get. Yeah. We waited over 20 minutes for Living with the Land.
So, yeah, that's another thing, too, is that I don't know what's the best way to, like, maybe go into Epcot late, do Drinking Around the World as early as you can, like start at 11, and then do the rides afterwards. Because the rides are in the morning before World Showcase
before
is
11.
Open. They're insane. You know, yeah. we're waiting 25 minutes for Living with the Land, or a half hour to 40 minutes for Spaceship Earth. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. And that's all because there's nothing else to do until the country's open right. at 11.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. Maybe there's some other way to
down
hack it.
Test track.
And we're down test
right,
track.
You're down huge. You're down a whole ride.
Yeah, yeah. That is often an hour wait.
The kind of crowds that we had, test track would have been a 90-minute wait. So there's 90 minutes worth of people that should be on a line somewhere
yeah.
that were instead trying to get on Soarin', trying to get on Living with the Land, trying to get on Spaceship Earth, doing the Moana walkthrough
they before can't, they the can't World They can't wait Showcase. On Guardians. They can't wait
right,
for Guardians.
Right, exactly. They can't yeah. wait on Guardians.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, well, I thought it was a great time, and I think that was the nicest weather I've ever been to
in Florida.
In Florida.
It was beautiful.
It was absolutely incredible weather.
70s and sunny.
Oh, also, wait, I do have one more takeaway. You're wrong about Trader Sam's.
Oh
yeah. Horrible opinions from you.
What do you mean?
Absolutely wrong about Trader Sam's. Trader Sam's
rules.
Is the best.
Trader Sam's rules.
Trader Sam's is the best bar in Disney World, period.
I don't know about that. I think a bit. I think a bit overrated. And to be honest, I haven't been there since like shortly after COVID, but like maybe 2022 we went. I don't know. Things weren't like starting up again. I was watching videos from early when we went. When Emily and I went in like 2018, and like the guys that were working there had been working there for like 10 years or since the bar opened, you know, the ones that were behind the bar. And last time I went, they weren't there. And I felt like it was all new hires. You know what I mean?
Well, those new hires have been there for 4 years now.
And so now maybe they're good again. Then.
It was really, really fun.
Or maybe they hadn't come back yet.
You can post a picture of me and Sean sharing. Is the picture with an uh-oh-a?
It was the uh-oh-a.
Yeah. Yeah, we're splitting an uh-oh-a.
We got an uh-oh-a. And what was the second thing we got?
It was the Nautilus.
The Nautilus. The Nautilus, yeah.
The Nautilus said it was a drink for several, but that was basically
we could have both taken down one of those on our own.
Yeah, the uh-oh-a was definitely, like, that's a drink you should share, but... The Nautilus, that went down real quick.
Yeah. Well, we're some veteran drinkers here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, next time you go to Disney World, I would recommend going back to Trader Sam's.
Yeah,
when we do our VIP day.
Yeah. Now, how great would it be if the VIP gets you direct access to all the booths?
Well, actually, I think it does, because I think the Plaids... If you say, "Oh, can you get me that thing over there?" and then you said, "Yeah, I'll get it while you go on Remy."
Right, right, right.
It's like, "Oh, I want to try that shrimp dish at in Australia, but I also want to go on Remy." It's like, "Well, if you go on Remy, I'll go get that for you."
Yeah,
Someone has to fund this.
Y'all have fun.
Okay, right. So in the spirit of keeping this episode
a mini
or close to a mini, maybe we'll forfeit the game.
Yeah, yeah, we'll move that to next week.
As the game master, I'll allow it to not happen.
So Sean, you want to take us out?
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Reedy Geeks Podcast. Like, rate, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Any questions, comments, or future topic ideas, send us an email at reedygeeks@gmail.com and find us on all our socials at Reedy Geeks. We'll see you next time.
I think I'll take one of those newfangled trolleys down to the drugstore soda fountain and meet the boys for a cold sarsaparilla.
This week's Honest Send-Off comes courtesy of John Progress.
If you have an Honest Send-Off that you want played at the end of one of our episodes, please submit an audio clip to us via our email address, reedygeeks@gmail.com. Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast, is hosted and executive produced by Andrew Schoppe, Sean Murphy, and JJ Hefner. Music and audio engineering by JJ Hefner. Bon voyage!